Now, the deadliest mass shooting in the US so far this year took place over the weekend in Buffalo, New York. The 18-year-old man suspected of shooting dead 10 people at a supermarket in the city deliberately sought a site with a high black population, according to authorities. Peyton Gendron is believed to have driven for some 200 miles to reach the predominantly black area. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown spoke to reporters about the pain the families are feeling in the aftermath of the deadly shooting.
This is the worst nightmare that any community can face. And we are hurting and we are seething right now as a community. The depth of pain that families are feeling and that all of us are feeling right now cannot even be explained.
Well, Professor Matthew Williams joins us now. He's the author of The Science of Hate. Matthew, good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon to you too.
Explain to us just exactly what do we know about the attacker at the moment, Matthew?
Well, much of what we know comes from the manifesto that was uploaded onto Google Docs by himself. He's an 18-year-old. He claims that he was radicalized primarily online. He cites a particular fringe or niche website called 4chan, which is popular amongst far-right and extremist thinkers. He also claims that he engaged in other readings on more extreme sites beyond that. But I think what's most telling about this, like the case in Christchurch and other similar cases, that he claims to have been radicalized primarily online without much interaction with any kind of offline far-right groups.
And these websites, specifically 4chan, Matthew, that attracts generally more far-right-leaning individuals. What sort of material or what's the general sense of that website?
Well, it's one of the niche websites that is totally anonymous. So it prides itself on being one of those anonymous sites where you can post anything you want, and there's essentially a lack of moderation in comparison to the main social media platforms. It's, as you say, it's popular with far right and alt right and white supremacists, and it has around about 22 million users worldwide, half of which are in the US. It's arranged in a certain way. It has particular boards that people can look at, and the politics board, the poll board, is the one where most of this kind of far-right rhetoric can be found.
And I mean, the type of individuals who generally go towards these websites and who are, in their own words, radicalized through these websites, what sort of person generally gravitates towards this sort of material online?
Well, this attacker shares very many similar characteristics with the kinds of individuals that tend to go onto these sites. They're predominantly men. They tend to be quite young, between the age of, say, 16 and 25. They lack any kind of contact or attachment to the institutions of society, so they may have left education or failed education. They may have a job, but it's probably a temporary job. It's not maybe not full-time. And they're largely disaffected. They're looking for something to validate their lives, if you like. And they're disaffected in many ways. So they've had a trauma possibly in their life. They may have mental health problems. And in this case, the attacker is identified as actually having potentially some mental health problems and was referred to the medical services in New York State. So he does tend to have that typical pattern of a young person who is susceptible to radicalization.
And how difficult is it, say, for authorities to identify that those sorts of patterns? I mean, I would imagine if you go onto 4chan, you would find quite a lot of content and quite a lot of material which you might find quite distressing. You might think that this individual is espousing views here which are certainly not acceptable. But then how do authorities turn that into preemptive action? Or is it possible even to do that?
Well, it's very difficult. The authorities do monitor sites like 4chan, obviously. We know in the UK, if we take the UK as an example, that extremist policing, but also MI5, obviously monitor activity on these sites for signs of anything migrating to the offline, if you like, migrating to the streets. So that work is being done, which is encouraging, but it's incredibly difficult to identify the tipping point with a specific individual where they say something online and they act it out on the streets. Many, for example, will say they're going to act out something, but they don't. And it's the quiet ones usually that don't really say too much, that end up actually participating in extremist activities on the streets. So it's incredibly difficult figuring out that tipping point for the authorities. All you can do is build up a profile of activity throughout time. And you know, there are lots of cases where we've been successful at doing that and the authorities have been successful at doing that, but there are always a few that will slip through the net.
And Matthew, in particular, we've come to associate, you know, these sort of events and attacks, you know, sadly, with America and with the United States. But here in the UK specifically, how much do we know about how active users, say, on these sorts of alt-right websites are? Is this a worry, do you think, for authorities here?
Absolutely. It's actually quite sizable. Nowhere near the size of the a membership of in the US, for example. But we know for a fact that British individuals do visit sites like 4chan and other sites that host this kind of material. So it is a huge concern for authorities. And interestingly, this is something that the forthcoming online safety bill doesn't really grapple with in any great to any great extent, unfortunately.
All right. Well, look, thank you for shedding some light on this dark corner of the internet. Indeed, Professor Matthew Williams, their author of The Science of Hate.